Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Nevada just announced they're going to release their results in February. So I think the quote from the election commissioner there was, deal with it, America, end quote. So we'll see what happens there in Nevada.
Nothing would surprise us anymore, Tim.
I don't really know. I would just like to have a Thanksgiving meal and at least know who's going to lead the free world in January.
I know.
you got a 50-50 shot, maybe.
Let's see another quote from the Nevada governor. If you don't like it, come out here and help us, end of quote.
Are you serious? No, you're joking.
See,
it wouldn't surprise me.
I got you.
The line between truth and satire is pretty thin.
I know, yeah. Right? Aren't you right? You're right.
The whole world has become the Babylon Bee.
If
you don't like how slow we are, come out here and help us, says Nevada governor. I'm teasing, folks. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker's going to tell you how you can join us on the internet.
Yeah, go to our website, AFR.net, and listen live. You can also download the AFR app on your smartphone. Lastly, we're on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube, and you can watch the show.
As it stands right now, Steve Jordoff's here to tell us as it stands right now. Any new news in the last hour, Steve?
Actually, a little bit. There are, by my count, five states that are being challenged by the Trump campaign legally in the courts. Pennsylvania is one of those, as you guys have known. And as of about half an hour or an hour ago, Philadelphia temporarily halted their mail-in ballot counting shortly before noon, which actually just a few minutes ago, to address a court ruling to allow poll observers in. So as of now, Michigan, they're suing to have the vote halted for observation. Pennsylvania, they are suing to have the vote stopped while they get observers in. In Georgia, they are accusing of improper counting of ballots. In Wyoming, they've asked for a recount. I don't know if that falls under they're suing, but they are demanding or asking for a recount. They are not under the automatic trigger recount, so the Trump campaign would have to pay for that. And then they just announced a lawsuit in Nevada. They are suing in Nevada, alleging that they are counting illegal votes, claiming to have evidence. The Trump campaign is claiming that they filed a federal lawsuit in Las Vegas today suing to stop the counting of what it's calling illegal votes. And they claim to have evidence that people who are deceased and non-residents have been casting ballots in the 2020 election.
Interesting.
That's probably true of all 50 states and all our territories.
Yeah, they might have evidence, though, of those.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting, Steve.
You have evidence, don't you, Steve?
I do. I have. I'm just keeping it close to the vest in case we really need it.
What are you having, a seance with somebody?
No.
You know who voted?
No, I
you
don't.
Know the Bible, you know the Bible forbids that, don't you?
Well, here's some interesting thing that I did do this morning. I saw a tweet that there were a whole bunch of outstanding ballots in Georgia that were not right. They were like the signature was missing or something wasn't right about the ballots. And I know you guys talked about a little bit this last hour. Fred said that they needed to be cured is the word that they're using. And so I saw a tweet that a whole bunch of ballots were available. The Democrats in Georgia were letting you come in and fix your ballots. I wasn't sure if I believed it. So I called. And indeed, in Georgia, they are allowing you, if you are one of, and it started out about 40,000 and it's now only about 400 ballots that were improperly cast. And if your name pops up in one of those, they're letting you come back in and fix your mistake. And I don't believe the mistake is that I voted for Trump accidentally, but who knows?
Yeah, I think this process has been around before. I think it just doesn't typically get a lot of attention. But now with these razor-thin margins in some of these states, it is getting some attention.
Would that it's in DeKalb County, Georgia, sorry.
That would have to be a mail-in vote, right? An absentee vote.
Yes.
Because otherwise, otherwise all our votes go into a reader.
Yeah, it is absentee ballots. That's what I was, when I called this morning to ask, I called and maybe, I don't know if this is, you might say that this is lying, but I called posing as a voter who was interested in knowing if I could have my ballot fixed.
What'd they say? Is this Georgia you called and did this?
DeKalb County, the Democrat Georgia Protection Hotline, voter hotline.
Right, you're a reporter. You're just testing a system. You're not really.
You are registered in Mississippi, just not Georgia.
I am registered in Mississippi, and I'm pretty sure that my vote counted and doesn't need to be fixed. But, I said that I was interested in, and I said I had to give my name, which I gave the correct name, and my number, which I gave our number here, Tim. So, and then I said I'm interested in fixing a ballot. Can I do that? And she said you have until Friday. To come in, and if your absentee ballot was returned, if you were notified that it was miscast, you can come in and fix it.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know exactly what to think about that, but that is again only going to probably affect 100 people. Or so,
yeah, the right? 200 ballots that is the number that they finally settled on, not 40,000. But
if one of the candidates wins or loses by 200 votes, then maybe.
Well, that would trigger an automatic recount anyway.
Yeah,
I would think.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Hey, nothing would surprise me anymore with these 50-50 races all across the USA in various states for Senate races and the presidency. And all right, go ahead, Steve.
Well, President Trump still in the race, although his path to the White House to a second term is definitely narrowing as we see the results coming in. Kellyanne Conway was on Fox and Friends this morning, and she kind of laid out what needs to happen for the Trump to get a second term. This is Cut 4.
The president's path forward is for North Carolina and Georgia to hold and be called for him. That's 31. You add Pennsylvania there, where he is way ahead, and we're patiently waiting for all the legal votes to be counted there. That's 51. Arizona is going the other way. I know you're one of the only places in the world that called it for him. Many of the other networks and anti-Trump papers haven't called it yet. So I know the campaign feels very good about at least the Maricopa results overnight, that the president hit his marks. He needed roughly about 57% of those ballots to go his way, and indeed they have. And then, of course, Nevada is still outstanding. Alaska is still outstanding, 3 votes. So that puts the president over the top.
They basically need to run the table.
Arizona, let's see, Arizona, 88% reporting, and president's down 69,000 votes. And in case you don't know what's happening in Arizona, Walker, please describe it.
Yeah, Arizona is still counting votes and still reporting votes in at least one or two counties there. Maricopa County is one of the big ones. And
absentee votes.
No, these are, I think they're getting to election day votes now. What they've been count, that I think they count absentee or mail-in voting first, starting on election day, and then they do it basically in order as it comes in. So some of these votes are election day votes.
You mean scanned votes electronically?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm just telling you some of them were. I think they actually have a drop-off option in Arizona where you can drive up with a ballot that you got mailed in and drop it off. So I don't know, but I just know that there's probably I think there's 400,000, roughly 400,000 left to count or to report, and that will come in tonight. I think is when they're set to report it.
Ray, go ahead.
Well, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has just sided with the city of Philadelphia, and the court case that the Republicans won overnight has just been reversed. I mean, like in the last 10 minutes or so. So now the Republicans can't be there to watch the ballots being counted in Philadelphia. What is going on in the city of brotherly love?
Yeah, that's shocking to me.
It just happened.
Something as simple as having an observer there, especially if they've already registered with the city of Philadelphia as an observer.
I mean, that's who ruled on that, Ray?
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court. So the only place to go above that, I suppose, is to the
Federal
U.S.
Court.
Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That is but the U.S. Supreme Court's already spoken in Pennsylvania, haven't they?
I think that was a separate issue. I think that was the deadline issue on how long they can accept late votes.
We all knew it was going to hit the Supreme Court at some point, right?
Yeah. Pardon me. Okay. I will have to, this is the skeptic in me and the doubter in me. My wife always says, you have to have everything proven 100% before you believe anything. Sometimes she tells me that. Other times she tells me things I can't say here. I'm not saying she uses bad words. I'm just saying she's sweet and nice about it, but she'll put me in my place sometimes. Now, and we all experience that as husbands, am I right?
Absolutely.
We just take it. We just take it because we know there's something we want to do on Saturday besides yard work. Okay. And that is there something else that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ruled on here other than can Republicans watch the vote counting? Because that seems unbelievable to me that a Supreme Court would say only one side can watch vote counting. Do you see what I'm saying here?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I would have to read the court order and the details to see what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court logic was behind blocking poll observers. Because the lower court said that poll watchers can go in. And I think, unless there's something I don't know about, I'm pretty sure poll watchers are allowed across the country in all states as long as you're registered with the city that you're in as a registered poll watcher. I don't know why. To me, I don't know why they can't go in and watch the votes. To me, that doesn't make sense. And I would say the same thing if it was Democrat registered poll watchers wanting to come in and watch Republicans count votes.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's more to it than meets the eye here. But we'll find out. But anyway, Trump campaign has got lawyers all over the country now, right?
In Nevada. Oh, they're ready. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to try to prove voter fraud, right, Steve?
They have various claims in various counties. Some of them are claiming that they're counting. Well, I guess it could all be filed under the voter fraud. But like in Nevada, they're saying that people who are dead and they have evidence that people who are dead or outside of Nevada voted there. And in other places, they're counting ballots that may have been cast late. So
the pressure is on the Trump campaign throughout the next few days and weeks to, if you want to call it, defend or fight in Pennsylvania. I would say this really comes down to Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Nevada. And I think it's up to the Trump campaign to, if they believe there is irregularities, if there is that going on, then it's up to them to prove it. I mean, the onus is on them to prove it and make the case. So that's just where we are.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
Regardless of how this thing comes out, there's pretty general consensus on both sides of the aisle, frankly, that the Republican Party has changed under Donald Trump. One of the things that I was watching is the voter turnout, the exit polling. This is what I found out, especially with people of color. Hispanic, the Trump campaign, according to the exit polls, did very well with Hispanic voters. In fact, Donald Trump took the largest percentage of non-white votes of any Republican since Richard Nixon in 1960. He was almost a quarter of the non-white vote went to Donald Trump this time.
That's
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he made inroads with African-Americans in terms of, I think he doubled his support among African-American women and men. Is that true?
I know
with women he did.
Yeah. I can't confirm doubled, but I know he increased both of them.
I read where the vote among African-American women for Donald Trump rose from 4% in 16 to 8% in Tuesday.
Yeah, there you go.
And so the men, I think, was 15%, 15 to 18% of African-American males voted for Donald Trump on Tuesday.
Yep.
So that is, now they still over, they, the African-American community, still overwhelmingly vote for Democrats. But that may be a sign, the times, to borrow from Bob Dylan, they are changing.
Yeah.
And the Hispanic, because a lot of people don't know this, but the Hispanic population in the United States is the largest minority now, and have been for the last probably 5, 6, 7 years. So they play a large role. You know, that's when we say the Hispanic vote or the black vote, that's about to change. You can no longer say, that's like saying the white vote. That's not a block vote, okay?
Yeah,
so
right.
The Hispanic community, the people who are Hispanic are diverse in their thoughts and their political ideas, just like white people are.
Right.
And it appears like the African-American or black community in America is trending that way as well. It may take some time to show up even further, but they're just not. You see a lot of these black leaders and speakers and pastors and so forth. You know, they're not just lockstep with the Democrat Party anymore. Mm-hmm. They are asking questions, and they're of both parties. And so that may change. If you ever get to the point where the Democrats lose and the Republicans are getting 25% of black people's votes in America, that will greatly damage the Democrat Party. All right, you're listening to Today's Issue. Steve, next topic.
Boy, I got to tell you, there's still some people out there who are saying that the House of Representatives is still in play. And I don't know how much confidence to put in this, but these are the facts. There are 19 seats, elections, that are outstanding that have yet to be called in the House. The Republicans have already picked up 10 seats in the House of races that have been called. Of the 19 that remain, the GOP is in the lead in 10 of those. If they picked up those 10 plus four others, and they are naming the California 25th, the Georgia 7th, the Pennsylvania 17th, and the Utah 4th. Those are all very close races that the GOP is slightly trailing. If they get those four plus the 10 that they're in the lead now, you would have a House Speaker McCarthy.
So 14 out of 19 is what you're saying.
It would have to be
outstanding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
a tough slog.
Yeah, but still, that's a possibility.
At that point, does Nancy Pelosi get on her broom and go back to San Francisco?
She'd certainly be binge eating a lot of expensive ice cream
did
to
I
drown out
that?
Her sorrow.
You did say that.
That was supposed to be an off-the-air joke.
We're on the air.
We are on the air, Tim.
Are we on the air? Oh, a hot mic? I got caught on a hot mic?
Oh, no.
I apologize. I apologize to the Pelosi family. Go ahead, Steve.
Also, Republicans had a lot of success down ballot. I know that the part of the hot topic that's been in the news lately, or that's been on pundits' mind, is how poorly the polling went, and how much Democrats were suggesting that this was going to be a bloodbath for Republicans. I want you to hear Kellyanne Conway one last time from Fox and Friends this morning, as she described actually what happened down ballot. Cut three.
President Trump is dragging down Republican senators with him.
For parties, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. And this year, it looks like Republicans are the bug.
This could be the year where Texas goes blue.
There was no blue wave. There was no early night.
There was no Democratic progressive realignment. In fact, the Democratic down ballot disasters carried all the way to the state legislatures as well. The Democrats did not flip a single state legislature. The seven races that were either the seven races that flipped that are brand new Republican pickups, as Leader McCarthy noted, as I tweeted yesterday, as others are saying, those were all carried by a woman, a minority candidate, and or a veteran. Nobody wants to cure this problem. If this were a real business, the C-suite would be cleaned out, the shareholders would revolt, and the consumers would vote with their feet. They'd go elsewhere.
There you go. It was a good day for Republicans in general.
She's right about that. This was a huge disappointment, to say the least, to the Democrats, even if Biden is able to win, because Nancy Pelosi has got a thin margin now, if she even keeps it, in the House of Representatives. And Chuck Schumer is, you talk about crying Chuck, he's going to need some kind of medical treatment, because he's going to still be the minority leader. And they were sure that they were going to be in the majority. They were already boasting about what they were going to do, about changing the Supreme Court and other things. It was all about, the Republicans are going down in a big way, and we're gonna be kings here in D.C. And that didn't happen.
No, you're right. The Republicans had a lot of up for grabs, a lot at stake, and they were able to defend all these seats. And
I wouldn't be surprised if Schumer didn't retire. Really, he's supposed to be challenged by AOC. Representative Alexandria.
Oh, he's in the Senate. She's in the House.
I know, but I'm talking about for the Senate seat.
He's up
for election 2 years from now.
And frankly, Nancy Pelosi doesn't have a whole lot of stuff to crow about. She lost a bunch of seats in the House, and she might be in peril when it comes to the vote next Congress, whether she retains the speakership.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me. Well, I guess it would surprise me, but I could see her retiring too. I really could. She's 80.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, nothing you do is gonna get passed in the Senate. So, what's your point? Unless you just got a nice restaurants in D.C. You want to?
They might want to impeach the president again if Trump happens to get
go back to California, Ray, and start you an ice cream collection.
That's a good plan.
Or a refrigerator collection. She's got one. Somebody said that cost $20,000. Is that, can a refrigerator possibly cost?
Oh yeah,
it can.
Huh?
Yeah.
Where do you buy a $20,000 refrigerator? Right.
It's a big one. It's a big one, I guess.
You buy it using cold cash.
I know, but
we're gonna be here all week, folks.
Does Saks Fifth Avenue offer refrigerators? I mean, where do you get these? Where do you get these?
Not from Home Depot, I guess. I don't know.
Can you imagine? Can't imagine Bill and Sam in the truck bringing over the $20,000 refrigerator. Ma'am, where do you want us to put this?
Hey, that, but if
these
Democrats in the city with their hand trucks, I think that's where they're going next after they've got the washing machines out of the looting stores.
I just did an internet search and found one for $18,000.
Whoa.
The Viking.
Whoa.
So what you're telling me is the insurance companies have separate policies on refrigerators.
Yeah, it's like a car.
Good grief.
Got insurance for your car, got insurance for your
How did you get into this much debt, ma'am? Well, it started by buying a $20,000 refrigerator, and then it all went downhill from there. All right, thank you, Ray.
All right.
Walker.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Steve, thank you, sir.
My privilege.
We thank you all, folks, for listening to today's issues here on AFR. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday.